Well, I don't know about you, but I love Christmas, and certainly for me, when I was growing up, that carol that we just sang there, We Three Kings of Orient Are, that was my favourite carol. I don't know which yours was, but that was mine. We used to sing, not quite the same words there, We Three Kings of Orient Are, one in a taxi, one in a car, one on a scooter, beeping his hooter, following yonder star. I don't know if you sang it like that, but that's certainly how we used to sing it. There's lots that I love about Christmas, but if I'm honest, there's one thing I don't love, and you may think I sound like an ungrateful pig as I say it, but one of the recurring features of Christmas for me over the past few years has been receiving imperfect presents. You know the thing, you rip open the wrapping paper in eager anticipation, and then you're bitterly disappointed. I got given a present by my wife. I opened it up, 5 pairs of trousers. Point taken, you know, my trousers were a bit scruffy. I then went on to the present from my mum and dad. It was sort of similar size to the present from my wife. And I opened it up, and you've guessed it, it was 5 more pairs of trousers. But I guess I can't talk about perfect presents. Last week, a couple at the church that I work, they just had their first baby. And I went round to visit them. And I was their first non-family visitor. And I suddenly realised I got 5 minutes, so I was due to be with them. And I didn't have a present for them. And the only place that was there that I could go into, any shop, within 5 minutes and get there on time was the local Tesco. So that's where I went to, the local Tesco's. I bought them a £1.20 bag of mini waffles as the present for the new baby. It wasn't particularly perfect. But then the three wise men, I mean, they could have brought some useful, practical presents, couldn't they? Now, you know, perhaps some baby clothes, maybe a nice home-cooked casserole for the parents. If it's three wise women, they would have done far better, wouldn't they? I mean, far better. So really the question is, why did they bring these seemingly rather imperfect presents? Well, the clue to the first gift, gold, is in verse 2 of the second reading. You may want to turn there if you want. It was on page 966. Now, let me say what the question that the wise men asked the King Herod, that shows us why they chose gold. This is what they said in verse 2. They said, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews?" And you know, gold is a present fit for a king. This baby, this little baby in a manger, is a king. He's one to be obeyed. How about the second gift of incense, frankincense? It seems a little inappropriate, doesn't it? You don't go and give a baby a couple of joss sticks for Christmas. Well, in the Old Testament, incense, it was used in the temple to point to a relationship with God. And at Christmas, we remember the fact that Jesus Christ, he entered this world in order to restore our broken relationship with God. And then the third gift of the wise men, myrrh. It points to how Jesus actually achieved that reconciliation between us and God. And myrrh, it's got to be the most inappropriate of the three gifts. I mean, myrrh, what was it used for? It was used to embalm the bodies of dead people. I mean, can you imagine if I turned up to that family with their new baby instead of my £1.20 bag of waffles, if I turned up with a coffin? I mean, it wouldn't have gone down very well, would it? But that's what the three kings are doing. These three wise men, they're turning up to Jesus with myrrh. And they gave him myrrh because this baby was born to die. The first reading told us why Jesus died. The clues in Jesus' name. The angel of the Lord said to Joseph, said, "You are to give him the name Jesus." Why? You're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the name means the Lord saves. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ was doing as he died on the cross. Saving his people from their sins. I wonder here, how many people have seen the John Lewis Christmas advert this year? Just stick your hand up if you've seen the John Lewis Christmas advert. Yeah, probably over half of you. Just stick your hand up if you work at John Lewis. We've probably got some John Lewis people here. Have we got anyone who works at John Lewis? Anyone here from John Lewis? No, disaster. Anyway, for those of you who haven't seen that John Lewis Christmas advert, it starts in a snow-covered garden. And there are two children, and they're building a snowman and a snow woman. And then the children go to bed, they wake up the next morning, they look out of the window into the garden, and the snow woman's still there, but the snowman, he's disappeared. You know, why is he gone? Where's he gone? Has he nipped down to the pub? Where's the snowman gone? And over the course of the advert, what you see is the snowman's gone on this epic journey. This journey that is over river and mountain and city and road. And you don't actually discover until the end of the John Lewis advert why he's going on this epic journey. And then the final scene of the advert, you discover that he's gone on this epic journey to go to John Lewis and buy Mrs. Snowman a hat, gloves and scarf to keep her warm that Christmas. You got Mr. Snowman. Mr. Snowman, he is rescuing, he's saving Mrs. Snowman from the cold with a little help from the one who's never knowingly undersold. And you know, I think one of the reasons why that advert has been so popular, I think on YouTube it's had over 3 million hits. One of the reasons is because it taps into the emotions and realities that are the heart of how this whole world is set up. The song being sung throughout the ad, it's called The Power of Love. The tagline at the end of the advert is called, Give a Little More Love This Christmas. And into that message we get these words, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. In love, the snowman went on a costly journey to save Mrs. Snowman from the cold. But in love, God himself went on a far more costly journey to save us from our sins. That journey, it wasn't just a journey from heaven to earth as a baby, but that journey, it continued all the way from the crib to the cross. Give a little more love this Christmas. There is no greater demonstration of love in existence in this entire planet. No greater demonstration than the reality that Jesus Christ went on a journey to his death and he died in love for you and for me. The one who was without wrongdoing took the punishment for all our wrongdoing. He saved his people from their sins. So often our view of Jesus is just a little baby lying in a manger, but we forget that Jesus is so much more than that. Gold was a gift for a baby who is a king, a ruler. Incense was a gift for a baby who is the one person who enables us to be reconciled with God, a reconciler. And myrrh was a gift for a baby who died for us, to save us, a rescuer. As I close, let me just finish by saying two things. Firstly, anyone can come to Jesus. Anyone can come to Jesus. Just think about it. If God came down to earth, who would you expect to greet him? The Archbishop of Canterbury, the Pope, maybe the Duchess of Cambridge? You'd expect it to be some religious figure. You wouldn't expect it to be the head of the Pagan Society or Mystic Meg or whoever does the horoscopes these days. You wouldn't expect that. The Magi were astrologers. They weren't the kind of people we'd expect to turn up. And yet it is them who come to meet God as God comes down to earth. You see, no matter how far from God you might feel, no matter what's happened in your past, no matter how unworthy maybe you feel, you and I, we can come to Jesus and know complete forgiveness and a relationship with God. Anyone can come to Jesus. And then secondly, everyone needs to come to Jesus. Everyone needs to. But that's the difference between King Herod and the wise men. Both of them, they both say they want to worship Jesus. In verse 2 of our second reading, the Magi say it. In verse 8, Herod says it. They both want to worship Jesus. But as the story continues, we're actually told Herod wanted Jesus dead. Herod wanted to, as it were, keep the crown on his own head. He wanted to be in charge of his own life. But the wise men, verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down, and they worshipped him. They actually worshipped Jesus. They were willing to, as it were, take the crowns off their own heads, and as it were, put the crown on King Jesus. Ready to let Jesus have his rightful place in charge of their lives. And I guess that above all, this Christmas, that is the choice for each one of us here. Are we with Herod? Or are we with the wise men? Will we come to Jesus and truly worship him? Will you do that? Worship him as your ruler, your reconciler, your rescuer. Not just sort of pack Jesus away with the tinsel come the new year, But will you and I, will we live with Jesus Christ as our King? Let's pray to close. Let's pray. I'm just going to finish with a short prayer that you might want to pray. If you want to say, I want to worship Jesus as my King. Perhaps you're not sure if you've ever actually taken that step of faith before. And if you'd like to, you might like to just say this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me so much. Thank you that you came to this earth that first Christmas. And you came to die for me, paying for everything I've done wrong. Jesus, I say sorry for all the ways I've lived ignoring you as King. And I want to put my trust in you and worship you now. Please come and live within me by your Spirit. And may I know the joy of journeying through life with you as my King. Amen.